This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's our pleasure now to be joined in studio by the Dungys. Tony Dungy, his wife Lauren. They've got two children's books that are coming out as well. We'll get into those. And guys, coach, you know, this time of year, it's August. I'm sure the itch is there. No, football's back.
No itch to get back, but I am excited about the upcoming season. Lauren and I live in Tampa, so a lot of buzz about the Buccaneers. They feel like they're going to be better. We've got the Philadelphia Eagles on opening night on NBC, so it is that time of year to get excited.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. And Lauren, I got to ask you, all the years that coach has coached, it's got to be nice not to pass, you know, a couple of years. He's home, right?
Well, he's home a little more.
A little more.
it's a little TV gig
he has.
Yeah.
But he's home more, right? I mean, because as someone who's married to a coach, who was married so many years, I'm sure it's not as easy as glamorous as a life as maybe some people think.
No, it's not. So it's great to have him around the house more often.
Nice. Good.
You know, when I mentioned the itch, I know you've been out of the coaching realm for a while here, Tony, but how long did it, when you decided to call her career as a coach, how long did it get out of the mindset? Taz and I were talking about yesterday in terms of guys like, you know, Dez Bryant and guys that are trying to get back into the NFL, and this time of year rolls around, they think about, you know, whether it be the fresh cut grass,
yeah.
They think about the old two-a-days and yeah. Everything like that. How long did it take you to get out of that mindset once you stepped aside from coaching?
It really wasn't hard for me because I coached 28 years and played three. So at 31 years in the NFL, I was ready to move to something else. But someone like Dez, where you're still feeling it, you want to be involved, then it's really, really tough. I remember my first year I didn't play. That was tough. That was difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you surprised Dez doesn't have a job?
He'll get one, and he probably had opportunities to go places, but he's looking for the right spot where he can fit in a team that can win and put all that together with the salary cap. But he'll be somewhere before the regular season starts,
Coach, do you think – so I've been saying out here that I feel like – and there's been some noise that maybe he goes to the Browns, as you've heard, I'm sure. Do you think that could be a good connection there?
It could be, and I'm sure he's looking at it, well, how long until the Browns start winning? I don't want to be at a place where, you know, I play three more years, and then when I'm done, they start winning. But I think that could be a good spot for him.
When you mentioned it, you know, you guys are still down in Tampa, the Buccaneers, high expectations for them. Curious, and there's a lot of negative stories that have been surrounding their quarterback, Jameis Winston. What do you think the issue is with Jameis? It's not talent, and certainly we saw it at Florida State. You've seen him flash with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's had off-the-field issues. What do you think the biggest issue with Jameis Winston is, Coach?
He's got talent. He loves to play the game. When he's on the field, he's on. But he's got to mature, and he's got to make better decisions when he's away from the field. And that would have been my concern drafting him. It's not during the season. It's not, you know, 9 to 5 during the week when you're in the building. He's the first one there, one of the last ones to leave. But in the off season, when you're on your own, he's got to make better decisions.
Yeah, and I guess in this day and age, if you're coaching, it's a little bit different, right, because of social media and how it's just blown up, right, in a situation like that, or like the whole Uber thing, you know, like stuff like that.
All those things went on in the past. Everybody didn't know it. Maybe the people in your city, maybe the people in your building, but the whole country didn't know it. Now that's what we have.
Yeah, because of social media, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that part, you're kind of happy you're not coaching, right? The deal with that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But when do you think he will mature? You know, he comes out of Florida State. Certainly, he said, all right, once he goes to the NFL, he's going to grow up and mature. He gets that opportunity in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number one overall pick. When do you think that – I know everyone matures at a different age. I mean, you know, I've got – Taz has got a son in college. I've got three young boys at home. You guys say everyone matures at different ages, but when do you think Winston's going to get it, Coach?
Well, Lauren and I have 10 kids, and they're all
God bless
different.
You. They're God all bless different. You. God bless you.
Yeah, they're all different.
He has.
Yeah. Everyone is different, and they all have different personalities. And I can remember when I was a coach, and we'd get scouting reports before the draft, and our scouts would go over it, and you know, this guy hasn't quite gotten it yet. The light hasn't turned on, but when it does, he's going to be great. And I always said, you know, don't give me those guys when it does. Give me the guys who the light has come on, because life is too short as a coach. You've got to win. You've got to do it. I'm all for it. Jameis, pulling for him. We'll talk to him, that type of thing. But it's up to him. He's got to understand, hey, if I'm the leader of this team, I have to do it day in and day out.
Have you talked to him?
I have talked to him a couple of times, yeah. Derek Brooks, I know, has talked to him. Derek lives in Tampa as well, has counseled him quite a bit. He understands. He knows the right things to do. He's just got to do it.
Well, speaking of young quarterbacks, I'm just curious, out of all these young cats that are out there right now that we're about to see play, from Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Baker, all these guys, tell me, break it down, which one or two do you think has that it factor to get to that real high level at the highest level?
It's hard to say who has it, and the bigger question is who's going to be around them. Mm. You know, you look at the situation I'm familiar with, Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf, and everybody says, well, now looking back, well, Manning had this, this, and this. But Peyton Manning also had Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James, yeah. Reggie Wayne, Marvin yeah. Harrison, Dallas Clark. We put the right pieces around him. Mm. And yes, he was great. He worked at it. He had everything inside to make it happen. But we built a team that gave him weapons, and that's what has to happen for these young guys.
Mm. When you first went to Indianapolis with Peyton there already, you know, already there, Coach, and out of that Tampa situation, what was your initial impression? Everything you heard about Peyton Manning, what was your initial impression when you first sat down with Peyton Manning?
I had heard the you know, all the accolades and everybody talking about him. And Lauren and I had actually met him. We were at a football banquet. He was the college player of the year, and we got to ride over in the limo with him. So you knew he was high-quality yeah. person. So I was excited about that. Then when I sat down with him, one of the first things he said, hey, I need to be coached. I want to be better. I want to be your leader. Tell me what I need to do. So I was really happy from that first day that we got somebody who was going to work hard and wanted to be the leader.
They did pretty good.
And was pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
You guys all did pretty good. Yeah. You guys did pretty good for sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting because like these a lot of these young guys, like you said, and having those resources around him, right? That's the key, right?
But he had the drive, too, and he worked at it. You know, you talk about Jameis doing the right thing day in and day out. I mean, that's what Peyton had. He was so focused. He wanted to be the best. He wanted to lead that team. He was determined not only the days he was in the office, but every day to get better.
You see that difference because of, you know, his dad, Archie, and his brother, you know, like being that second generation. I'm sure you've coached other guys in other positions over the years.
Yeah. Well, he knew what it took.
That's
yes,
what I
his,
mean.
His
yeah.
dad definitely yeah. instilled in him, hey, you want to be great, here's what it takes.
Yeah. Coach, you know, we were getting into a conversation earlier in the week, I think it was on Monday, and talking about Aaron Rodgers calling out his teammates a little bit or his receivers at practice. Now, as a coach, we've seen coaches do it to an extent. We've heard Parcells talk about you have to play team psychiatrist sometimes. There are certain things that motivate certain guys, and we've seen other sports guys call out their teammates. What was your take? Were you bothered by the fact, or do you have an issue with Aaron Rodgers calling out his receivers out of a practice?
I don't have a problem with that at all. We always talked about doing it. Nothing wrong with calling out guys, but keep it in-house. Right. We didn't call out guys in the media.
That's what
to
I'm
other
saying.
People.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, hey, in the locker room, in the meeting
different
room,
story.
On the field, yes, hey, you got to get the job done.
The
you
fact that he
here.
Did it to the media was...
Yeah. That would concern me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm from the wrestling business. I was a wrestler for a lot of years. And we have, even though sports entertainment, same thing. You don't go public if you have a problem with a guy, the way yeah. he worked or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's kind of what I felt on that. I'm not surprised to hear you say that. But, I mean, as great as Aaron Rodgers is, but I think you got to be careful you don't lose the locker room as the hood ornament of the team.
Yes.
And that's what he is.
Yep.
Yeah. We're talking here to Tony Dungy, his wife Lauren Dungy, in studio. They've got two books coming out, right? Two children's books coming out. Lauren, talk to us a little bit about what's coming out it later on this month. Is that correct?
No,
actually, the books are out.
The books are out right now.
Okay. Yeah, the books are out. We have two books. Maria Finds Courage and Austin Plays Fair are two new children's books. Tony and I have co-authored them. They are sports-related books for kids ages kindergarten to fourth grade and full with good life lessons and good stories that we find entertaining, and the kids will relate to them.
That's awesome. I mean, that's awesome. That's great. I mean, whatever inspired you guys to do that, it sounds like a great way to connect, right, to kids and for them to gravitate to something like that.
Well, when you sit down and you're working on it to connect with kids and get the message across, Lauren, what exactly in terms of, and obviously every book has a message, a theme, and you ran through the two titles, what's the main goal, the end goal of in terms of the life lessons you want to get across?
We want kids to understand that they can participate in sports or anything, but play with integrity, operate with truthfulness and honesty, and play fairly. Mm. And many times kids are just thrown into a sport and they really don't have the tools to, you know, work through it. And when they run up against a problem or a challenge, they don't know what to do.
Sure.
So it also helps to have good coaches and mentors to walk alongside them and encourage
Absolutely.
Them and show them what to do.
So you guys said you have 10 kids.
We do.
And now I have one. And he's 19, college athlete, and I feel like my wife would attest, it feels like he's 10 kids. But anyway, so being that you have 10 kids, you have just a plethora of experience that to put into books.
Absolutely.
Into these books.
We've drawn on the experiences from our own kids. They give us a lot of writing material just in their day-to-day interactions. You're right.
Are they all, I should say, I'm sure they're not all athletes, all 10 kids. I mean,
they like to think they are. We have seven kids at home, and they keep us busy every day with sports. They think that they need to participate in every sport that's being played.
That's cool.
But they're pretty good.
What's age, like youngest, oldest?
Oh, my goodness. We have age 2 is the youngest, and we go all the way to adulthood. So
wow.
So 7 are living at home.
Man, I tell you, I'm very impressed.
I give you credit.
Well,
I really
thank
do.
You.
Moose
yeah.
has three little ones.
I got three boys. I go home. It's like Lord of the Flies.
It is. Yeah.
You know
how it is.
I've called his house during dinner time. It's like, dude, I'll talk to you later. It's like a war zone.
I'm like, Jackson Duck, I got to go.
Crazy.
I think it's interesting. You have you go to TeamDungy.com right now,
yes.
Right? So parents can sign up. If you go to TeamDungy.com, what can they get?
We have a promotion going on, and that's correct. If they go to TeamDungy.com, it's an opportunity for your child to be a character in the next book that
wow.
we write.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I think what kid would not want to be featured as a
that's
character
smart
story.
To pull that interactiveness
yes.
in there. You
yes.
know, I mean, that's cool because it make them feel like they're, you know, put
Absolutely.
Their kid on that grand stage. That's pretty cool.
Two new titles, Austin Plays Fair and Maria Finds Courage, two new books out. How many books have come out in the series so far?
These are the first two books in this series.
Mm-hmm. How many books have you worked on in the past?
We've written 10 other children's books together.
10 other children's
collaborated
books?
Collaborated on, yes.
That's fantastic.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
What's the biggest experience in terms of connecting and getting the message across? You write a column, you write a book, an autobiography, whatever it might be. But the biggest goal is sitting down to write your first children's book, because that's an art form. That's a credit.
It's harder than you think, because you only have 32 pages in a children's book. And you've got to use certain vocabulary. You're directing it at your target audience. But it's been fun. And Lauren and I take the books. We go every Tuesday to different elementary schools in Tampa, read the books, kind of talk to them, and interact with the kids and get them to think about the message and that. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's very cool that you guys are doing that.
Thank
I mean,
you.
it's Moose, your kids are at that age that they should be.
All right.
Well, listen, I'm going to get to it.
Go to the website.
That's exactly right. I'm going right after the show.
TeamDungy.com. Dad of the year.
That's it. That's exactly right.
You get your kids into children's
books. That's exactly right. I'm going to get them in. My son Jackson, he's five. He loves reading. We read to him every night. Yes, yeah, absolutely right. We have Tony Dungy, Lauren Dungy in studio. We have another 15 minutes with them. Two books out, and they are entitled Maria Finds Courage, Austin Plays Fair. Wherever books are sold, hop online, get them, and we'll talk a little football. Continue to talk about the two books as well as we roll right along. Taz and the Moose with you on Action Pack Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Rolling right along here on this Thursday morning. We've got Tony and his lovely wife, Lauren Dungy, in studio. Two new children's books are out. TeamDungy.com, check it out. Parents can sign up their children to be a character in the next book in the series, Austin Plays Fair, Maria Finds Courage. And I got two copies for my kids.
Yeah.
All right. Look at there you go. Thank you, guys. I'm excited.
You're welcome.
There you go. Thank you very much. When you we've talked a little bit, and certainly about, you know, raising kids, the message you want to get across. I mean, Taz and I talk about it. His son's now in college. Yeah, I've got three young boys at home. But in terms of – it's so difficult. I mean, in terms of – sending the right message. I'm sure as a, you know, a coach and a coach's wife, when you look at it, you're there, you're involved and everything. But, you know, the most important thing I often talk about with my kids is it doesn't necessarily mean they have to be an athlete to be at this. And you want them to take school seriously and educate themselves, but you also want them to be good people, good human beings. That's really at the base of it. And I think when you have books like you guys put out, I think that sends that correct message, correct?
Absolutely. That's what we wanted to get across to our readers, that there is a way to carry yourself. And oftentimes we forget about, you know, showing our kids, modeling good behavior. We're so busy. Life is busy. And we don't take the time to show them and to talk about appropriate behavior and just how to be a good person and to have integrity, to have character in whatever you do. And so that was one of the goals that we had in writing the stories. We wanted to just remind kids, whether it's playing, interacting with friends, and doing schoolwork, there is a way to be and to act. And many times we're just so busy that we don't take that time to help our kids. And in our stories, we hope that not only will the kids read, but the adults will read to the kids so you can have discussions, have conversation about those challenges.
And I'm sure in your books, because of sport, right? Because sports will bring discipline, bring character, and you kind of intertwine that. And that's, I know as a dad of a college athlete who was an athlete since he was a little kid, you know, I saw that in the right coaching, always made sure when he was little that he was around the right coaching. And his character, knock on wood, is great. So, you know, and sports helps that. And so it's great to see you guys get into the grassroots of that.
And there are lessons that you can get being on a sports team. Sacrifice,
no doubt.
Being a good teammate, discipline, bouncing back from disappointment. What happens when you lose a game or you strike out with the bases loaded? You know, a lot of life lessons, and that's what we hope. And the other thing, and you mentioned it with your young boys, getting boys to read.
Oh,
you know, it's sometimes tough. Right. So that was kind of the thought behind the sports theme, too. Boys will get interested. Maybe they'll read it because it's sports and then get that life lesson that's kind of hidden away in there.
And, Coach, I think you hit on it, too. I mean, you know, it's not just about, you know, back in the day when we were, like, younger, you know, he's a jock or she's a jock.
Right.
It's not like that. No, you know, corporations in big cities like here in New York or Chicago or Dallas or L.A., whatever – a lot of them are hiring athletes, male and female athletes, because they have that work ethic, that teamwork.
Yep.
They know how to lose. They know how to win. Those are vital,
And they know how to work together with the group.
Teamwork.
And it starts early. You know, it's not something that you learn in high school or college. It starts very early. And that we're hoping
that's what the books are doing.
The books will show you and just, you know, walk alongside you as you deal with those issues.
Well, Moose, maybe you read these books, you'll be a better teammate to me.
Oh, no. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, maybe
I should pass them along to you, Taz.
Maybe you should read them to me.
Well, there are lessons in there for adults as well.
That's it. I need them.
Coach, when you look at today's football, modern football, and the rule changes and everything we've seen, and you mentioned, you know, as a player, as a coach in the NFL for 31 years, do you like where the game is going?
I really do. We have to try to make it safer, no question about that. And it has been. I look back at when I came in the league and, you know, what we did in terms of safety, it's light years ahead of that. Now, the players are bigger and stronger and faster. The collisions are bigger. I get all that. But we have to keep that going to make the game safer, to keep it going.
Do you think that, you know, to me, Coach, what's been happening is it's like for the past several years, collegiately, high school, even high school, but definitely the NFL, it's almost like the technology, and as great as they're doing with the gear, you know, the technology can't keep up with the evolution of the athlete. I know in my son, I watch how he trains and things he does with his training. It's so different than when I trained. It's like just light years ahead, and these guys are just bigger, faster, faster.
But the technology is coming.
You think
and
so, yeah.
It is. And my day, nobody wore mouthpieces.
Right, right.
I mean, and that was the first thing my trainer, when I coached, hey, we got to get all these guys to wear their mouthpieces, wear it in practice. Yeah. It can prevent concussions, can help out, all of those things. The helmets. We've got helmets now. Guys won't wear them because they don't look the same or that it's not what they're used to. So we've got to get that geared into the players that, there is stuff out there that can help and improve.
Got to make it look swagged out. That's
got
to have the swag.
Yes.
You know, Lauren, I want to ask you as a coach's wife. When Tony finally won the Super Bowl as a head coach in Indianapolis, we heard what Tony had to say at the time, and you know the disappointment being able to bounce back after all the successful regular season disappointment in the postseason in Tampa, finally to win in Indianapolis. How did that feel for you? Witnessing that, living through that, and going through all that, after all the success, finally to win that Vince Lombardi trophy and seeing your husband be able to be the head coach of a team that won it.
It was indeed thrilling. I mean, it was a long time coming, a lot of patience, and we knew that it would happen. It's just a matter of, you know, the team coming together and believing Tony's philosophy of coaching had great values and great ideas, and you know, you have to put it together. It's like raising a family. You know what you want to do, but it takes time for everything to knit together. So it was thrilling to, you know, walk alongside him for many, many years and see it, you know, progressing and then to have that happen. I mean, I just can't even describe how it felt at that moment to be on the stage and to witness that and to be a part of that.
Well, I don't, you know, I, listen, as a former athlete, I got to tip my cap to you, man, because, you know, all the children you have, and you seem like you're a great mom. I'm assuming
you
are. You definitely seem it. And to be married to someone who was a pro athlete and a pro coach for as long as this man was at the level, you know, a lot of times, you know, the wife at home doesn't get the credit.
So no, that's true.
We're
behind the scenes, but we're his biggest cheerleader.
Yeah.
And so it was a family celebration.
That's awesome.
And they were involved every step of the way. Right. I mean, our wives were such a big
part
of it, and they did a lot in community service, but a lot with the team, too.
Yeah.
And being there in Miami, having everybody, and that's one of my great memories, when we won the game and, you know, our families jumping over
that's
the wall
cool,
and getting down on the field,
that's
and
great.
Everybody was celebrating with their kids and their wives, and it was like, we did it. Yeah, we did.
Was it a big weight off the shoulders, Coach?
It was more of a
annoyance.
Satisfaction. No. It was great. I mean, realizing, hey, we brought this to Indiana. You know, it wasn't the Baltimore Colts had had a lot of history and they'd won Super Bowls, but Indianapolis had never had that championship, and knowing we were going to go back. We had a parade the next day. We were late because of the rain and everything, the weather in Miami. It's 5 degrees in Indy, and we're thinking, who's going to be there? The streets were packed.
Oh,
the stadium
God.
Was packed. It was just a great feeling to kind of celebrate, hey, we did this together.
You're such an even kid. I've watched enough on TV over the years, coaching, and now your work, your great work you do on NBC. you just seem so chill all the time. Like, yeah. What's the deal, Lauren?
How did this guy inspire
these great athletes? I mean, you just seem you. It's amazing. I don't think you've ever gotten pissed off on the sideline, have you?
There've been a few times.
But no, really, that was one of the things. I remember when I was interviewing as an assistant coach, trying to get that head job. I was talking to an owner, and he said the same thing. He said, "I hear you never get mad. You don't use profanity. You're a Christian. How are you going to get these guys to play?" And I said, "Well, hey, I'm going to develop that relationship, show them I love them, just like my dad did with me, their respect, and we're going to be That's in awesome. It together." And the guy said, "That'll never work in the NFL."
Right. Yeah, yeah.
He didn't hire me. So, but I, you know, that was the way I was. So I couldn't change.
Good for you, man. You've done great.
Awesome. No doubt. No awesome. Question Both about it. TeamDungy.com. Check it out. Parents can sign up for their children to be a character in the next book in the series. Two books are out. Maria Finds Courage and Austin Plays Fair. Tony and Lauren Dungy. Guys, thanks for a couple minutes this morning. We certainly enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.
Enjoy the football
great.
Season
you.
And continued success. All right.
Thanks. Good luck with the Bucks, guys.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you.
It was awesome.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.